In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
In this state, we've forgotten how to be winners. Losing has become a way of life. We've lost the expectation not only that we can win, but that we will win. Winners expect to win. Here in Oregon, especially if you're a Republican, we expect to lose. In the field of management, there's an area of study called change management, how to take failing companies and turn them around, yes, but it's also about how to change the culture, dynamics, and mindset of teams and sectors within a company, especially ones that have learned to lose. One of the first things you need to do as a change manager is teach your team how to win again. You have to show them that victory is possible, that by following your lead, you can lead them to victory. Oregon needs that. As you heard last week, Democrats are leading us to universal health care. They're looking to raise taxes and feed the bottomless pits of government. Without more Republican legislators or a Republican governor, Oregonians will be left powerless to curb the Democrats' desire to run our lives and spend and waste our money. We have to stop this. I'm here to tell you today we can. On today's show, you'll hear about one victory of a man who is facing the worst that the left could throw against him. You'll also hear about the next lawsuit he faces and how defeating that dragon could have global implications. And there's even some good news on that front. And then we'll talk with someone who knows all about winning. Captain Greg Wooldridge, a 3-time commander of the world-famous Blue Angels, has now decided to run against the vaunted Democrat machine here in Oregon. Stay tuned to hear how he not only plans to win, but how he'll also make Oregon a winner again. I'd like to welcome now Dr. Tim Ball. He is a retired professor from the University of Winnipeg, a Canadian geographer and historical climatologist, but he's best known for his public opposition to the so-called scientific consensus and the whole global warming controversy. Dr. Tim, it's great to talk to you today.
Well, thanks once again for the opportunity. I really appreciate being able to present both sides of the issue.
Good. Well, you know, we wanted to have you on because a couple of weeks ago, you had some incredibly exciting news. Longtime listeners of iSpy know that you were involved in multiple lawsuits where you have been alleged to have defamed people. This is a Canadian judge has dismissed all charges in the lawsuit brought against you by British Columbia Green Party leader Andrew Weaver. And that was in response to an article of yours in Canada Free Press. Why don't you go ahead and fill us in about that?
Yes, well, that as you mentioned, that's just one of the 3 lawsuits that I received, all from the same lawyer, all filed in the Supreme Court of British Columbia, and all filed on behalf of members of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And, of course, that's the UN agency that has been, in my opinion, corrupting the science and directing the focus against CO2 and implementing or trying to implement all the policies against that. This is a very, very important victory. I now have to go on for the next case, which involves a major piece of research produced by the IPCC called the hockey stick.
Yes.
In some ways, that one's important. But the Weaver trial is important because he was a author in 4 of the IPCC reports, 1995, 2001, 2007, and 2013. And he was a lead author in the computer model chapters. And, of course, it was through the computer models that they created the illusion that human CO2 is causing warming. In fact, the only place in the world where a CO2 increase causes a temperature increase is in their models. So to have that in the record is very important. And one of the things that happened, interestingly, with this was that we were called no witnesses at all. But we were allowed to bring our witnesses into trial and their statements. One that you and the listeners would be interested in was by Judith Curry, who, of course, was attacked for her changing her views on what was happening with climate change.
That's right.
But she wrote a superb statement that the judge commended.
Well, in terms of getting this dismissed, of course, your critics are immediately jumping in. And there was actually an interesting article on Dismog blog. And we'll post that up on iSpyRadio.com on today's show page. And I'd like to give you a chance to respond to their criticism. They say that your suit was dismissed because the judge said that you weren't credible enough to warrant a libel case. And they go on to cite a couple of things here from the court case. I'll just use this one here. It says the article is poorly written and does not advance credible arguments in favor of Dr. Ball's theory about the corruption of climate science. Simply put, a reasonably thoughtful and informed person who reads the article is unlikely to place any stock in Dr. Ball's views, including his views of Dr. Weaver as a supporter of conventional climate science. What were you saying in response to that?
Well, it's laughable. I mean, I hate to say that. I hate to be an ingrate because I got the verdict that I wanted. The case was dismissed. But I think that this was a sop by the judge to Weaver and his power, political power within the province of British Columbia here. The judge started the case. His opening line was, this court will not be used to settle the global warming debate. And of course, what he's saying by that is what all of the courts say, and we need to discuss this issue of how the courts are unable to deal with scientific issues, and yet they're a major part of our society. But the courts say that we won't get involved in scientific debate. Justice Scalia said, you know, I'm not a scientist. I can't decide. Basically, it comes down to your paper against my paper. So having said that, his opening statement, and of course, implying that the courts aren't qualified to judge, the judge then became qualified to judge my article as to its efficiency.
Yeah, he's not just a scientist, but he's apparently also an editor.
Yeah, exactly. And so, as I said, I think this was a sop to Weaver, because I've got to be honest with you, I did not expect the verdict I got. Huh. I thought that, and my lawyers thought that at best we would get, okay, a dollar fine, you shouldn't have said it, and work out the cost between you, but to come out and say that the case is rejected completely is quite amazing. So as I said, I think that he thought that he had to balance the books with it. But that, hey, you know, that this is the problem when you go to court. You get these bizarre rulings and bizarre ideas, but the final analysis, the record shows, you know, it doesn't matter what happened during the game. It's the score at the end that counts.
That's right. You know, I'd just like to add that Dismog Blog is run by a PR firm specializing in smearing global warming skeptics and was actually founded by a leftist who made a great deal of money by laundering money through Canada's carbon tax schemes. Let's go and take a break there. Coming back, we'll have more with Dr. Tim Ball and his lawsuits, and especially the one coming up. The one against the world-famous Michael Mann of the hockey stick. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Dr. Tim Ball, talking about his recently dismissed case. And it's interesting, as you read some of these articles about this case, and you really have to think, as a reader, what kind of chilling effect that these kinds of lawsuits can have on people that just want to voice an opinion and their free speech?
Well, of course, that's part of the purpose of the lawsuit, is the chilling effect on others that would dare to question. Yeah. It's Voltaire summed this all up, you know, when he said that it's dangerous to be right in matters when men in established positions are wrong. And so the chill effect, and added to that, by the way, is that I've had scientists say to me, look, we agree with you on the science of it, but we're not going to say that publicly, because the minute you say that you question the anthropogenic global warming, you're categorized as right wing, and we're not, we're left wing. So you have these people with political and moral dilemmas, but the chill effect is truly frightening. If I tell you that so far my legal bills are $600,000, and that's only halfway through. In other words, without the financial support of a lot of people, there's no way that I could defend myself. And I would either have to withdraw what I wrote, which of course is exactly what they want, the silencing, or I would have to say, no, I'm not going to show up to defend myself, and then the courts could rule and punish me as they saw fit. So it's very, very frightening. And of course, the other thing is the what it does to your family. I mean, I haven't been very vociferous about this, but I talk with my grandchildren about these issues, and my grandson, who goes to a school here in BC, and the teacher, who by the way is very much a supporter of Dismog Blog and that whole David Suzuki Foundation organization, and I say that because Dismog Blog was founded and is funded by James Hogan, who is the chairman of the largest environmental group in Canada, and he also has the largest PR company in Canada, and most of his clients stand to benefit from eliminating CO2. But anyway, I talked to my grandson about it. The teacher made a comment in the class, and my grandson questioned it, and he stood in the hallway for a month after that. Mm. And I mean, it's child abuse, and these are the things that make you think twice about challenging authority. And as I said, I hate to tell that story because it will intimidate other people, but if you're going to fight for freedom, you pay one hell of a price, and you better be ready when you stand up.
That's right. Absolutely. And but it is very terrifying to think that the government can come in and try to shut down people's rights to speech. Now, I have to say, though, that overall, February was a pretty good month for you, because on February 1, Michael Mann, the world-famous Michael Mann of the hockey stick fame, made some concessions to you, which allows him to keep his data secret from the public for another year, concessions that you're apparently not able to talk about. And then, of course, in the middle of the month, you've got this dismissal. So is Mr. Hockey Stick, Michael Mann, is he nervous now?
Well, I hope so, because one of the rules of hockey is that you're not allowed to play with a broken stick. So the hockey stick has been totally broken by scientific analysis. But the key thing with it is that the source code, that is the code that's used to program the computer to produce the results that he did, in other words, to create the hockey stick, he still hasn't released that. And of course, without that, you can't do what science must do, and that is reproducible results. So if he claims something, he should provide all of the data and all of the source codes. And it's very much like everybody's gone through this in a math exam. The one single instruction you always get is show your work.
That's right.
It is absolutely essential to
that. At the time that he did that, was he not working for a publicly funded entity?
Well, of course, that was the issue, and that was when Ken Cuccinelli, who was the Attorney General of Virginia at the time, brought a lawsuit against Mann and said, look, you need to release this information so we can confirm that what you found is correct. And Cuccinelli argued, look, the taxpayers pay for your research, and therefore the data belongs and the research belongs to the
public information. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, of course, as Cuccinelli pointed out, your research results have been used for global energy and environment policies that have cost the world trillions of dollars.
That's right. Yes.
All right. It's all based on that. But here's what happened in a U.S. court in the Cuccinelli case. The judge ruled that that information was Michael Mann's intellectual property. Okay, and therefore he does not have to disclose that, even though somebody else paid for it, which is a very, very interesting question in the light of all the intellectual property battles that are going on with the China and everything else.
Well, not even just intellectual property battles, but you could absolutely lie in a public situation like that. You're working for the government, completely make up data, and then never have to produce any of it. I mean, that's a terribly chilling precedent.
Well, of course, what's happened in my lawsuit is that I took the defense of truth at the risk of going, having everything taken and a fine and going to jail, because I had to have discovery. I had to have a court case which required that he produce these documents. He has not produced them. He then sought, about a month before the actual scheduled trial date, he asked for an adjournment. The problem is in Canada, and I was opposed to it, but the problem in Canada is the courts will always provide an adjournment before the case begins in the hope of an out-of-court settlement to save time and money and so on. But the agreement was that he would still produce the documents by the date of the original trial, which was February 20th.
You'll just have to offer that, you know, you'll withdraw your case as long as he refunds all of the money that the climate scientists have gotten. So there we go. All right, we do need to take a break. Everyone stay with us. We'll wrap things up with Dr. Tim Ball after this. And well, back, we're talking today to Dr. Tim Ball about the dismissal of his defamation case that was brought against him. Dr. Tim Ball is best known for his opposition to the so-called consensus in global warming, although I have to say Britain right now could maybe use a little of that global warming. You know, the UK, of course, was not supposed to be seeing any snow. These kids were never supposed to know what snow was, according to many of these predictions just a decade ago. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the importance of your case, though, in the wider realm of things, because Canada has an interesting series of legislation called SLAPP. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that? It's S-L-A-P-P.
Well, it's not actually legislation. It's an acronym for Strategic Lawsuit Against Public Participation. And it's been created by lawyers and politicians who are increasingly concerned about the misuse of the law to punish and silence people. And that, of course, is the very antithesis of what the law is designed to do, to protect free speech. And so in many places, many states, I don't know the number, but at least 30 of the states have what they call now anti-SLAPP legislation. In Canada, 8 of the 10 provinces have anti-SLAPP legislation, which is why, of course, the cases against me were filed in British Columbia, because we had anti-SLAPP legislation, and then a new government got in and got rid of it. If you look at the Michael Mann case, for example, here's a citizen of America from Pennsylvania filing a lawsuit against me, a Canadian, in a British Columbia court about something that happened in Manitoba. This is another part of it. It's what they call jurisdictional shopping.
That's right.
That you go around and find the jurisdiction that will allow the lawsuit that you want to attack people. And so it's a perversion of the law that is really quite disturbing. And as I said, the anti-SLAPP legislation that people are starting to look at is a measure of that.
What do you make of the fact that one attorney has brought these three different cases against you?
Well, it's interesting because he made a name for himself defending free speech. And yet, here we are with lawsuits that are silencing free speech. And now, the good news is that the new government that just got elected in British Columbia here have filed to introduce anti-SLAPP legislation again. And it's going to be very interesting to see how Weaver, who brought the lawsuit that he lost to me, sitting in that legislature, how he's going to vote on it. Because he has the balance of power. He's got three seats, but he's got the balance of power. And that, personally, I find very disturbing that you can have three people controlling the whole legislature, but that's part of the problem of having more than two political parties, which is where, of course, the Founding Fathers understood that. But on a larger scale, of course, the Michael Mann case has much more implication globally because, as I said, the whole world has been duped by this whole global warming or due to humans scam, and that's why I call it the greatest deception in history.
Oh,
there
absolutely.
Have been large deceptions. Yeah, there are large deceptions, but none that are global in their implication.
Well, and none that have cost trillions of dollars, or would have cost hundreds of trillions of dollars, if somebody like a Hillary Clinton had gotten in and pushed through the Paris Accords.
Oh, exactly. And here's the thing. Bjorn Lomborg, who wrote the book The Skeptical Environmentalist, now he's a statistician, but he just published a thing recently in which he took the Paris Accord and said, okay, what happens to global temperature if every country fulfills its mandate under the Paris Accord. And he calculated that it would reduce global temperature by 0.74 degrees Celsius by the year 2050 at a cost of trillions of dollars. And so, yeah, I mean, the implications of this are truly frightening. I mean, think of all the things that could have been done with that money that we really need to address. But this is the problem.
So $100 trillion to possibly change the weather or the mean global temperature by 0.7 degrees. Could the average human standing in a room even be able to tell the difference between those two?
No, and we can't even measure it because we measure we can measure to thousandths of a degree, but because the historic record could only measure to zero or half a degree Celsius, then all the modern record can only use zero or half a degree Celsius in order to be able to see the trend of the temperature. So when they talk to you about when you hear any temperature reading that isn't zero or 0.5, it's a statistic. And, of course, as we know, statistics, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics, and that's what's going on. And it's very interesting because on the blade of the hockey stick that Michael Mann produced, you've got he's showing that there was no temperature increase for 1,000 years, and then suddenly in the 20th century, the temperature went up 0.6 degrees Celsius in about 100 years, and he's claiming that that has never happened before. But when you look at the data shows 0.6 plus or minus 0.2. So it's, in other words, it's 0.6 plus or minus 33% error factor. And the guy that produced that data, Phil Jones, who was the head of the climatic research unit in East Anglia and one of the members of the IPCC, Warwick Hughes, an Australian climatologist, said, "We'd like to look at your data. How did you get that number?" Jones wrote back and said, "Why should I give the data to you? It took us 25 years to produce it, and all you want to do is find fault with it." And he refused to give it to him.
Wow, the absurdity of that is just beyond belief. You know, unfortunately, we are up against the clock.
Very quickly, though. Yeah, very quickly. But here, they filed a Freedom of Information request for Jones to disclose that data. He came back and said he'd lost the data.
Wow.
Frightening.
Well, you know, judging from the amount of snow falling in the UK, Phil Jones may not even be able to drive into work today. So there's his global warming. Dr. Ball, I want to thank you so much for your time. What a relief this must be to you and your family. And good luck as you continue to press the fight against Michael Mann. And let's all hope for a great outcome on that one as well.
Thank you. And thank you so much for what you and Carla and iSpy are doing to present all sides of an issue so people can make up their own minds.
Up next, someone else who knows how to win, Captain Greg Wooldridge, who's running for governor as a Republican.